All right, so you are now officially being recorded, Larry, and I'm going to step aside.
Okay, thanks a lot, Troy. Appreciate it. Hi, Emin.
Hi, Larry. All right, should we get started?
Sure. I've typed up about, I don't know, a page of memories.
All right.
Should take 2 to 3 minutes, I'm guessing, to read it.
That's
great.
Is
that a decent time frame?
That seems like a great time frame. I'm just going to introduce myself and where we are really quickly, and then I'll just let you get going on that, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, so my name is Emin Rogers. Today is the 18th of October. We're at Madison Public Library talking to Larry in, I think, Eugene, Oregon. Isn't that right?
That's correct.
And your name is Larry Lewin. Is that the right pronunciation?
Yes.
All right. Let her rip, Larry.
Okay. On October 18th, 1967, I was a freshman living in Celery Hall. I remember I went to the Commerce Building that afternoon, I'm thinking 4 o'clock, maybe 3 o'clock, for a pre-business course I was enrolled in. That was my major, pre-business. I either walked up and over the hill to Commerce, or maybe I jumped on the bus that went alongside the lake there, but I probably walked. It was a nice day. Upon entering the Commerce Building that afternoon, the corridor was full of hippies, chanting, yelling, and pounding. I had no context for what I was seeing. I was completely puzzled. The chants were about the Dow Chemical Company. I must have figured out that this was some kind of anti-war demonstration. I assume there was chanting about napalm, which was manufactured by Dow. But maybe not. Maybe I didn't know that this was anti-Vietnam War. I didn't know much about it. I was 18 years old. I'd been on campus 5 or 6 weeks, and I only knew that some students opposed the war, but that was it. In the Commerce Building, I had to step over the protesters to get to a stairway to the second floor. I can still picture it vividly. It was dreamlike, almost like a trance being in there, but it was also jarringly super real, intense. I got up the stairs to my classroom, and during the class, we could hear chanting and noise from the hallways down below. We all tried to ignore it. I have no memory if the instructor or if any of my classmates said anything about the protest. After class ended, I left in a hurry, but the staircase down to the first level was blocked. So I tried a different staircase to a different exit, but I realized that I'd forgotten my hat. So I went back in, up the stairs to the classroom. Now it was very frenetic, very scary, very surreal. The hallways were packed. I made it back, got my hat, made it out through a different door in the back of Commerce, where I saw police paddy wagons parking, and I saw riot police cops disembark and head toward the doors. I remember they had batons in their hands, helmets with plastic shields. Maybe I'm remembering the iconic photographs from that day, but they were staging for an assault. It was surrealistic. I had no context to figure out what was happening. I fled. I made it back to Celery Hall, and I told my roommate, James Goodman, what I had seen. Other students were talking about it in the hallways of the dorm. Rumors were spreading. There, of course, were no texts or tweets available for us back then to check what was going on, just word of mouth, rumors. Probably stayed up all night that night discussing what we had seen and what was happening. The next day, October 19th, all of my teaching assistants went out on strike, protesting the violence at the Commerce Building. These TAs were grad students that I greatly admired. They were my teachers. I have today a file folder full of flyers that I had saved from 50 years ago announcing the campus-wide strike against the violence. These flyers are mimeographed in blue ink, almost like parchment. They're that old. Some of these flyers have typos in them. From the all night long, the students who were organizing the protest were rushing to type it up. True primary source historical documents. I remember the next day, or maybe 2 days later, returning to Commerce Hall with my roommate to witness the strike against the violence. There were thousands of students now gathered outside the Commerce Building, screaming at the police because of the violence. I was caught up in a historical moment. I was beginning to understand what I was witnessing. My life changed right then and there. I found a U of O bookstore spiral notebook dated 1967 with some diary-like entries I made as I tried to figure out what I was experiencing, me and thousands of other students. Shortly after this, I changed my major from business to history, then I changed it to English, and then I finally changed it to teacher education. I had to make my life fit into what I was becoming. I became a public school teacher, taught public school in Oregon for 24 years. I was a teacher union activist. Now I'm a member of CAPE, the Community Alliance for Public Education, a nonprofit advocacy group for public education here in Eugene, Oregon. 50 years ago, I got caught up in a historical moment that made me who I am today. So I guess today, October 19th, at the age of 68, I'm starting my next 50 years of progressive political activism. I probably won't make 50 more, but that's my goal.
That's a great story.
Thank you.
So I had a couple of questions for you, because it was really interesting. You said that there were rumors starting to spread even as you got back to Celery Hall.
That's my memory. I don't think I was the only one who had witnessed it, but my memory, maybe it was hours later, but
sure.
My memory was it was pretty quick. People were talking about it, but it could have been hours later.
Do you happen to remember
what people...
It could
have even been into the evening for all I... Yeah.
Sure. Well, yeah, I'm sure it must have been. Do you happen to remember what people were saying, or...?
I don't. My guess is that there was a lot of confusion. Freshmen really had no context.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember anybody in my dorm advocating that, you know, the police were right or that the protesters were right. It was more just questions and trying to figure out how something like this could have happened. I don't remember any analysis pro or con.
Okay. And then later, when after the TA strike had happened and everything, did you feel the mood start to shift at all, or were you pretty, you felt the same, where people were just trying to figure out what they were experiencing?
It definitely shifted, and like me, many became radicalized, you know, within a matter of days.
Mm-hmm. And you say that lasted through the rest of your life, huh?
Yeah, it really did. It changed my trajectory. You know, I was going into pre-business. My family owned a business in Milwaukee. And I decided pretty quickly that I wanted to do something that I thought was more meaningful. And education was what I chose, and it was a good choice. It worked out for me.
That sounds great. Were you Are you originally from Oregon?
No, I grew up in Milwaukee.
Oh, that makes sense, right? Your family owned business there. Okay,
yeah.
So what prompted you to move out west?
Well, after I graduated, or toward the end of my undergrad, my girlfriend and I moved out to the country. You know, there was a back to the land movement,
uh-huh.
You know, people living on farms. So we did that for a while. And then, I don't know, I think a lot of people who grew up in the Midwest wanted to try either the East Coast or the West Coast. There was an attraction, at least I remember an attraction. And I had a friend from Madison who moved to Colorado. So we went west, and Eugene was a lot like Madison. It was a good fit,
Madison.
Although it's a baby Madison. It's much smaller than Madison.
Right, yeah. Well,
right, like we're now just transitioning from a college town into a small city, whereas Madison has transitioned from a small city into a medium-large city. I mean, it's definitely bigger.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's the same kind of nucleus of progressive thought.
Right. So... I guess the next question I kind of wanted to ask, it might be a bit sensitive, but a couple years later, there was that bombing in Sterling.
Yes.
Were you also on campus when that happened?
I was. I have a distinct memory of that. I had moved to Boston that summer. Again, this East Coast, West Coast allure of Midwesterners. I'd gone to Boston for the summer to work and to experience a different culture. And I came back to Madison. I didn't have anywhere to live yet for the fall term, so I remember staying with a girlfriend who lived off campus. And I remember 4 o'clock in the morning, an explosion. I mean, she lived way off campus, miles away.
Mm-hmm.
And that explosion literally blew me out of bed. I mean, I leaped up, and I knew right away what it was. At least my memory is that I knew that Army Math Research Center that had been located in Sterling Hall had been blown up.
I see. Did you connect that at all to the Dow riots? Or was it just kind of a separate event in your mind?
Yeah, there was a definite linear projection from Dow all the way up to Sterling. Not that everybody involved in Dow would condone bombing,
sure.
But the historical thread is clear. And sure. The four of them who did it took it to a level that most of us never wanted to go.
Sure.
And of course, with that researcher in the basement, you know, it turned out to be murder.
It did.
Yeah, but the context of upping the ante and fighting back was very clear.
Was that kind of a culture around campus, would you say?
Well, it was mixed. I mean, everybody understood that the war was not going to end just through peaceful protest. I mean, this was years later, right? Mm-hmm. It's 1970, so
yeah.
3 years. Think of all the Vietnamese and Cambodians who died during those 3 years,
right.
Not to mention the American troops. So the context was that the ante has to be upped. But obviously the vast, vast, vast majority of anti-war protesters were not disposed to
violence.
Driving a van with a nitrogen fertilizer.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I think.
But the context was there. I mean, it was shocking, but it wasn't really that surprising. I mean, I don't want to make it sound blasé, but I knew instantly what it was.
Right.
And I think everybody did.
And so what would you say, if you had to take a guess, and you said this kind of affected the rest of your life, would you say it affected the rest of your life on campus as well? It's kind of what I'm getting at a little bit with these questions about 1970.
Yes. There were many, many other protests after Dow, both against the war, also in support of the Black Student Union,
mm-hmm.
Against the incursion into Cambodia in 1970. I participated in dozens and dozens of protests. My girlfriend became a co-director of the Women's Center that opened up in the YWCA.
Uh-huh.
The women's movement was taking off. Uh-huh. I remember marching around the square in support of gay rights, probably 71. So the culture was set, and it was not just around Vietnam, although that was clearly the most pressing issue on campus.
Right.
But once a college student became aware of government policy and then local attempts to tamp it down, you know, the context became clearer and clearer. So from that day on, I had a critical analysis of what my government was doing, both at the national, state, and even local. And that put me on a trajectory for social change.
Yeah, it sounds like that's a experience you kind of shared with Madison as a whole.
No, it was me and thousands of others. I don't know how many others, you know, my age, you know, have continued with social activism, political activism.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope 100%, but I know that's not nearly possible.
Yeah.
But I like to think my generation continues the fight. But
right. Well, Madison,
you know,
has certainly gained it. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was saying Madison has certainly gained a reputation as a kind of an activist center at this point, so.
Yep, that's right. And some of those activists are, you know, from the 60s.
Yeah. Well, I think it's fair to say that at least had a big part in kicking off this culture in this town, so.
Absolutely. I don't know the prehistory. I got there in October of and September of 67. I know that there were activists in the middle 60s, 64, 65, 66, and I assume they emerged as the leaders after the Dow riots because
mm-hmm.
they had been on campus longer and had been exposed to the critique of the Vietnam War mm-hmm. much sooner than I.
Right.
So I assume, you know, that the leadership started, you know, maybe even early 60s to mid 60s.
Right.
But by the time I got there, it was ready to hatch, and Dow was the spark.
Right. And had you heard that Dow was coming before they came, or just
no? No, I have no memory. And even if I heard that, you know, in my context as a freshman, you know, 5 to 6 weeks on campus living at Sellery Hall, if I heard it, I wouldn't have, you know, I don't think I would have understood it.
Right.
You know, the Dow chemical made napalm that U.S. troops were dropping, and they were coming to my campus to recruit future workers. I don't think, even if I heard that, I would have understood it.
Yeah.
After October 18th,
I got
connected very, very quickly.
Sure. Do you remember anything else about, you said as you were leaving Commerce Hall that day, you saw the police paddy wagons pulling up. Do you remember anything else about the police's, you know, manner of carrying themselves, or did they say anything or anything like that?
No, my memory is that it was eerily silent, but I may be over dramatizing that. You know, maybe I saw, you know, the movie The War at Home, and I'm picturing the footage of, I really don't remember.
Okay.
But it looked very serious to me.
Uh-huh. Did you know anyone? I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that in the days that followed, I did have interaction with the police during the protests that followed.
Sure.
I remember picketing up across from Commerce Building. And, you know, the riot police were out in full force.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we could see their faces through the shields, and they could clearly see us. So I did have some interactions with them, but not when I fled the Commerce Building on the 18th.
Yeah.
No, I probably ran. I mean, it was very intense,
yeah.
Very intense.
Well, it's a scary thing to witness.
Yeah, it really was scary, and again, because I didn't understand, you know, what they were doing in the building and why the police were there to get them out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, later I understood it. It wasn't that complicated, but when it was happening, you know, it was happening so quickly, the data was just flying into my brain. I had nowhere to really analyze it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those diary entries you mentioned sound really interesting as you just try to process your experience and what you're feeling and what you're thinking.
Well, I'll read you one quickly if you've got a moment. I found this.
Absolutely.
I found this a couple of months ago, not in the context of Dow. I had forgotten that the 50 years was coming up. My brother let me know. He still lives in Madison, and
uh-huh.
There was an article, I guess, in the State Journal about the 50 years coming up. That's, in fact, where I found out that Madison Public was taking testimony. My brother sent me the link to that that Wisconsin State Journal article. But I was digging around looking for a photograph that a college friend had asked me for, unrelated to the 50th anniversary. And I found this, I'll just read it to you, it's one paragraph. This is dated 10/19/67. So literally 50 years ago today. This is the day after.
Wow.
And I'm writing in my diary. It's painful to know that I want change and that others, many, don't see why. We're talking 24 hours later.
Wow.
And already, you know, here's the change happening.
Yeah, yeah.
It's painful to know I want change. Well, maybe I was predisposed to it. I really don't remember.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe I was ready for Dow, you know, in terms of radicalization.
Sure.
But I don't remember any stuff before this I mean, I don't even know that I had a position on the war. I don't think I did.
Yeah.
So here I write a, quote, radical, quote, and liberal, quote, campus is what Madison is. It's painful to realize that most people here are apathetic or ignorant to the need for change.
Wow.
Well, that kind of contradicts my memory that everybody was talking about it.
Right.
Most don't care, I write. They laugh at those who protest. Adults, how many, question mark, will agree with the assemblyman who said, I guess this must be some quote from a Wisconsin assemblyman in the paper the next day, who said, quote, they should be shot, they're greasy bums, unquote. I'm quoting somebody in the paper, I guess. This guy is a leader, representative of the people. Must be an error or fallacy in a system if this can happen. A irrational man making irrational statements and having people agree. It's not that I, underlined, want to change the world. I know some change is needed. I thought there were enough people who felt this way who could begin to start some movement, especially here. So there's contradictions and confusions on the day after.
Right.
Wow, but you can see the seed is planted.
Yeah, I can see you thinking through it all too, and thinking, am I going to have to be the one to do it, or what do I do?
Exactly. And not just me, I mean thousands of students. It was right there in our face. And, you know, there was the slogan, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And that was all real.
That's
but my friends and roommates, you know, we all moved to the left very quickly. We got radicalized.
Yeah.
And that's lasted a lifetime.
Do you have any sense of why your friends and roommates also kind of moved left really fast, or was it that they were there as well and they just had the same experience?
Yeah, it was the context, and I think, you know, through our conversations and analyses, we influenced each other.
Sure. Yeah.
I did have one friend the next year as a sophomore in 1969 from high school. We moved out of the dorm and rented a house on North Francis. It's right kind of behind the Nitty Gritty, if you know where that is.
Yep, I do.
Yeah. In fact, this last summer I was visiting my brother in Madison. He bought one of those e-bikes, so I was zipping around Madison on an electric bike. And it was so much fun. I went to all the places I had lived 50, 49, 48 years ago. Sure. And this house on North Francis is still standing.
That's funny.
Anyway, we rented this house, and one of my high school friends who became a roommate was in the ROTC.
Uh-huh.
So he clearly was not influenced by any of this. He went a different route. But after that year, we were no longer roommates. We kind of went our own ways. Yeah, but my other roommates and friends who I'm still, connected to, we all still have progressive leftist analysis of everything.
Of everything. Wow.
Yeah.
Do you happen to know or remember if anybody, when you got back to Celery that night, if you personally knew anybody who was on the other side of the building at that day?
No, I don't have a memory of that, but my instincts say that there had to have been, as we sorted through the rumors, my guess is there had to have been somebody who would oppose and support the police on that. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing.
Well, actually, and what I, that's fascinating as well, but what I actually meant was, did you have any memory of anybody you personally knew who was, firsthand in the riot?
This happened, I found out a couple years later. In fact, I've been emailing my friend, Jim Goodman, who I mentioned was my roommate. We're still in touch. He lives in upstate New York. We were reminiscing. I sent him the link to this article at the State Journal that my brother sent me. And I asked him, do you remember me coming back from Commerce, and did we go right back to watch the riot? He said he didn't remember. I don't remember either.
Yeah.
I was hoping he could tell me. But his wife, Caroline, who they met in Madison, she was in Commerce Hall.
Oh, wow.
So she has a different view of that.
Wow.
And she was inside. And she was a freshman, so how did she know about anti-war protests? She must have been predisposed before she arrived in Madison, or she got radicalized, 2 weeks before I did. I mean, I don't know. But she was way ahead of me, and her now husband, Jim Goodman, he and I were starting at point zero. We had no idea.
Yeah.
She knew. She was in there. Now, how she got in there and who she knew and if she was part of one of the radical organizations, I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
but I did not hear her story until a couple years later when they met.
Yeah. Larry, thank you so much for sharing your story. It was really fascinating.
It's my pleasure. It's a great opportunity to reflect back on it and how what a big deal it meant in my life.
Yeah. Did you have any other things you'd like to add, or did you have any questions you wanted to ask us?
No, just how I can access it and share it with my friend Jim Goodman.
Sure, yeah. Well, hopefully.
So keep me in touch, and let me know when it's available if it gets posted.
Absolutely, yeah. And you have Troy's email, right?
I do.
Great. So.
And I've got a packet of newspaper clippings from both the Cardinal, I think probably the Capital Times. There was a underground paper called Connections.
Mm-hmm.
I've got clippings of those. I also have these mimeographed flyers that the protest leaders were distributing. I'm sending them to my friend in New York, but I told him when he's done, if there's somebody in Madison who wants to take a look at them, I'd be glad to donate them.
I'm sure we'd be definitely interested in seeing that.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I'll get him then to forward them to you. Maybe I ask Troy for a good address on that.
That seems like a good idea. I can...
Okay.
But you have his direct contact information, so I think
he'd
probably prefer to just give it to you himself.
Yeah, okay. I'll follow up with him.
All right. Well, thanks so much for sharing again.
Well, Evan, thank you for putting in the time on this. Clearly it was one of those major historical moments.
And yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy to participate.
Yeah, and it's fascinating to see it from this end of 50 years as well.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.